Shalom to all. On today's Avraham Mishnah, we're going to learn Masechas Chulin, Perek Yod, Mishnah Dalet, all the way through the end of the Masechta, and onto the brand new Masechta, Masechas Becharis, with the first Mishnah. And onto Mishnah Dalet with another situation. Gershon is Geyer, Vahaisolai Para. We have a non-Jew who became a Ger. He became a convert, and he had a cow which he was going to be shechting. Let's say he was going to have it shechted for the Suda that he was going to be making after he officially became a Ger. It's a very big Simcha, becoming a Yid. And so he's making a big Suda to invite all of his friends and loved ones. And so he had a cow. He instructed the Shechit, I want you to shecht it for the Suda. Now, Nishchata ad Shaloin is Geyer, if it was shechted before the person became a Ger, Pater, it's Pater from Zerah L'chaim and Keva, because he's not Jewish at that point in time, so he doesn't have to give Zerah L'chaim and Keva to the Kohen. However, Mishan is Geyer, if it was shechted after he became a Ger, Chayev, so he's Chayev in Zerah L'chaim and Keva. Safek, if we're not so sure when it was shechted, Pater, so he's Pater. Why is this? Shamatzi Mechaveri, Olvaraya. Because if somebody wants to take from his friend, he has to bring the proof. If Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, you owe me $100, so who's the Mitzi? Who's the one who's taking? That's Reuven. He has to bring the Raya, he has to bring the proof that Shimon owes him $100. Same thing over here. The Kohen comes up to the Ger and he says, look, you just shechted an animal, you owe me matanais. That means the Kohen is the mitzi. He has to prove that the cow was actually shechted after the person became a Ger. Now we finally get into the details of where exactly the Zeraya, Chaim, and Keva are located on the animal. So that's what the Mishnah says. Eza Zeraya. What is the Zeraya? So Minaperek Shalar Kuva Ad Kaf Shal Yad. It's the part that goes from the joint of the lower bone. Basically, there's a lower middle bone on the leg. So it's from that joint all the way to the calf of the yad, which is translated as the shoulder blade. So it's basically the whole middle and upper part of the front leg. And which leg is it? Who shall nazir? It's the same leg of the nazir. When a nazir brings karbanos, it says zroya b'sheila. The zroya is cooked, and that's referring to the right leg. And connect the beregel shaik, the corresponding part to what we had just described of the front right leg. When we're discussing the back leg, that's the regel, the back right leg. That's the shaik, the thigh, which we mentioned in the first mission of the Perek. We have the chaza and shaik, the chest and the thigh of shlamim karbanos, which are given to kaihanim. So the same exact part of the zroya, which is cooked by a nazir and given to kaihanim with zroya l'chaim and keva, that same exact part in the regel, in the back right leg, is called the shaik. However, Rabbi Huda argues and says, shaik min haperek shel arkuva ad soivich shel regel, the thigh is from the joint of the lower bone to the knee, not to the shoulder blade, not to the upper part. So therefore, according to Rabbi Huda, it's just the middle section of the leg, not the middle and upper section. Now back to the matanos. Ezu lechi. What's the lechi? We said lechayim, which means jaws. So what's the lechi? Min haperek shel lechi ad pika shel gargaras. It's from the joint of the jaw, basically where the jaw meets up with the head. That's from there up until the pika, which is the opening of the gargaras. That's the windpipe. And that's lechayim. And the keva doesn't need to be explained, because as we had said before, that's one of the stomachs of the animal, so it's pretty self-explanatory. Now these mishnayos, we're going to be learning about the mitzvah called reishis hagez. The pasuk tells us reishis hagez son chatit and loy, and the first of the shearings of your sheep you should give to him. This is one of the manas kahuna, one of the things that has to be given to a kohen. So when a person shears their sheep and they have the wool, they have to give some of it to the kohen. So the Mishnah tells us reishis hagez noig ba'aretz v'chutz la'aretz. Reishis hagez, this mitzvah is both in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz la'aretz, b'fnei habayis v'shelo b'fnei habayis, when we have beis hamikdashim, when we don't have it. However, b'chulin, only with animals that are chulin of aloy mukdashin, not with an animal which is hektish. If it was designated as a carbon or if it's donated to beis hamikdash, the din of reishis hagez does not apply. Now chomer b'zera b'chaim v'keva mereishis hagez. We have a chomer that's found by Zerah L'chaim and Keva, which we discussed in the previous parak, over reishis hagez. Shezrei L'chaim and Keva noigin b'bakar b'tzayin b'ru b'muat. Zerah L'chaim and Keva apply both by bakar and tzayin, whether it's cattle, it could be cow or bull, or with tzayin, sheep or goats. Anytime such an animal is shechted, we have to give Zerah L'chaim and Keva to the kohen, and also b'ru b'muat, when there's a lot or even a little. Even just if one animal is shechted, we have to give Zerah L'chaim and Keva to the kohen. But for reishis hagez, einu noigel b'recheilos v'einu noigel m'ruba, reishis hagez is only by recheilos, which is female sheep, and it's also only when there's m'ruba, when there's a lot or numerous, there has to be multiple and not just one. So now moving on to Mishnah Beis, continuing to clarify, v'kamu meruba, how much is meruba? How many sheep do we have to be mechayev the person who shears the wool in reishis hagez? So Bishami says, shtei recheilos, two female sheep. Shenamar, the pasuk says, yichaye ish eglas bakar shtei tzayin, a person is going to raise one calf and two flock, that's tzayin, tzayin is flock, which means sheep or goats. So you see the two is a minimum number. However, Basil says, chamesh, it's five. Shenamar, the pasuk says, chamesh tzayin asuyos, five prepared sheep. This whole story, when Avigail brought food to David HaMelech and his men, it says that she brought five prepared sheep. Now, obviously, they were prepared because she didn't bring them live sheep. She was bringing them food that they could eat. So, Beis Hillel makes a drasha that asuyes means that when a person shears sheep and he's going to be chayv reishis hagez, it has to be a minimum of five sheep. Now, it's not just the minimum number of sheep. There's also a minimum amount of wool that has to be shorn. He says, it's only if we have these five sheep that are shorn and each one of them produces 1.5 manas worth of wool, then they're chayv in reishis hagez. Now, 1.5 mana is about 2 pounds of wool. So each sheep has to produce about 2 pounds. That means he has to have a total of about 10 pounds of wool, and only then he's chayv in reishis hagez. Anything less than that is not considered a real shearing, and therefore wouldn't be chayv. Now, the chamrim say that no, chamish rechel is kol shehin. It's 5 sheep that even a little bit has to be shorn from them. Now, it's not a little bit, it's not a tiny amount. There is a minimal amount, but it's about a third of the size of Reb Dosef and Hyrcanus, so chum require even on a much smaller scale. Now the question is, how much has to be given to the Kayin? The answer is, Mishkal Chamish Slime B'Yehuda, Shein Eser Slime B'Galil. It's the weight of 5 slime in Yehuda, which is the same thing as 10 slime in Galil. That's because the weight of the coins in Yehuda was different than Galil, so that's how much has to be given to the Kayin. Also, Meluban V'Loit Tzai, it has to be whitened, meaning it has to be clean and not dirty. When you're weighing how much to give to the Kayin, you're not allowed to count all the different stuff which is stuck inside the wool. That doesn't count. Now, why is it this is the minimum amount that has to be given? Kedei lasos menu beged katon, as an order for the kohen to be able to make a small beged out of it. Shenemar, the pasuk says, titen loy, give to him, shehi bai kedei matana. That means there has to be enough that you're giving him something useful. Imagine giving somebody a penny. That's not considered giving him anything. You can't really do anything with a penny. It's the same thing. When you're giving him wool, you have to do a titen loy. You have to give him something that's considered giving him something, and that's enough to be able to make a beged katon. What does that mean, a beged katon? So this is talking about a beged of big day kahuna. So that's referring to the avnate, the belt, which is the smallest of the big day kahuna, and so there has to be this minimum amount of wool. Now we have some troubleshooting issues. Let's say he didn't have a chance to give it to him until he dyed it. For whatever reason, the person took his wool and he dyed it a different color and he didn't give it to the kayin yet. Potter, he's potter from Rishis Agez, because now it's considered in some way that he stole it from the kayin and now he changed it, because he changed it from regular colored wool to a different color, so now it belongs to him and not to the kayin. However, Libnoi V'loitzvoi Chayev, if he whitened it, meaning he just cleaned it out, he didn't dye it, he's still chayv in reishis hagez, he has to give it to the kayin. Another din, halakech gez soyne shel nachri, potter reishis hagez. If a person buys the shearings of the wool of the non-Jew, it's potter reishis hagez. That's because the sheep is still owned by the non-Jew, just the wool is owned by the yid. But the pasuk regarding reishis hagez is mashma that the sheep as well has to be owned by the yid, so in this situation he's potter reishis hagez. However, halakech gez soyne shel chaveirai, if a person buys the shearings of wool from his friend, Reuven owns the sheep, Shimon buys the wool of the sheep from him. So im shir hamaycher, if the seller, Reuven, left over some wool for himself, hamaycher chayev, the seller, he's the one that's chayev to give reishis hagez to the kayin. That's because the buyer can always tell him, look, you left some wool over for yourself, it must be that that's the reishis hagez wool, and you're the owner of the sheep, so you would have to give it. However, lo shir, if he didn't leave anything over, if the buyer, Shimon, bought all of the wool off of Reuven, halakei chayev, so the buyer, Shimon, he's the one that has to give reishis hagez. Now let's say, hayu lo shnei minim. He has 2 different types of sheep, shechufais ulevanais. Shechufais means not black or white, and so we would call that gray. So he has gray sheep and white sheep. Machar l'shechufais avaloi levanais. He sold the wool of the gray sheep and not the white one. Or zacharim avaloi nekevais. He sold the wool of the male ones and not the female ones. Zenois l'atzmai, zenois l'atzmai. Each one has to give reishis hagez from their own. That's because these are 2 totally different categories. White sheep and female sheep have much better wool than gray and male, and therefore each one has to give their own reishis hagez. Now in this parak, we're going to be talking about the mitzvah of shiluach hakein. The pasuk tells us that if a person is walking along the way and he finds a bird's nest and the mother is revetzes, she's crouching on or she's nesting on the young birds or eggs, so he has a mitzvah to send away the mother bird, shaleach teshal chasaim, and then he takes the babies or he takes the eggs, v'shabanim tikach lach. And so now we're going to be discussing all the details. The Mishnah tells us shiluach hakein, this mitzvah of sending away the mother bird, can literally means a nest. So the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird from the nest, noig ba'aretz b'chutz la'aretz, it's an Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz, b'fnei abayis v'shalo b'fnei abayis, when you have a base mikdash and when we don't. However, b'chulin avaloi mikdashin, this is only with chulin birds, but not with mikdashin. If a person has a kachin bird, he designated as a carbon, let's say, and then it flew away, and he found it later on that it made a nest, there's no mitzvah shiluach hakein. Now we just contrast this halacha with one that we learned in earlier parak regarding birds. Chorim b'kisei hadam shiluach hakein, there's a chorim b'kisei hadam, the chiv to cover the bird of blood that was shechted over shiluach hakein. Shekisei hadam noig b'chaya u'ba'if. Kisei hadam is not only by birds, but it's also by chayas, by wild animals, and by mezomen v'she'in mezomen, also with something that's prepared and not prepared, meaning it could be that this bird is raised in his house, or it's not mezomen, he finds it out in the wild. The din of kisei hadam applies to both of those. However, shiluach hakein einu negal ba'if. Shiluach hakein, first of all, is only by a bird, and also einu negal b'she'in mezomen. It's only if it's not prepared, it's not mezomen. It has to be that he finds it out in the wild, that's not part of his house, and only then shiluach hakein applies. Now we discuss this further. Ezu she'in mezomen. What does that mean? It's not mezomen. Kigan, for example, avazim tarnagolim, geese and chickens, shekinu b'pardes, they nested out in the orchard. Now the chiddush over here is that these chickens and geese were really part of his home, and they were used to going in and out of his house. And what happened? They decided to rebel. They were myrid. They said, we don't want to be in this house anymore. And they went out to the orchard. Now, it could be that the orchard is still his rishos, but it's still, for these geese and chickens, it's considered out in the wild, and if he found them nesting over there, that's considered something that's not mizumin, and he'd be chayv in shiluch hakein. Avon kinru b'bayis. However, if they were in his house, and they set up a nest in his house, it doesn't have to physically be in his house, it could be in his courtyard, in his chatzar, where they're used to living. Also, yoni hardesios, which are a certain type of dove called Herodian doves. These are doves that are used to living in the house. So pater mishiluach, he's pater mishiluch hakein, because they're used to living among humans, and that's called mizumin, so there's no din of shiluch hakein. Moving on to Mishnah Beis, oif tamei pater mishalayach. A non-kosher bird, there's no din of shiluch hakein. Oif tamei roivitz al beitzei oif tahar, v'tar roivitz al beitzei oif tamei. Let's say he finds a not kosher bird, which is nesting on the eggs of a kosher bird, or a kosher bird resting on the eggs of a non-kosher bird. Maybe the mother bird was out, and so she asked her neighbor to sit on her eggs for her, so that's why you have the kosher on the non-kosher, non-kosher on the kosher. Pater mishalayach. He's pater from sending away the mother bird, because we learn from the pasuk that it has to be both a kosher mother bird and kosher eggs. Now, kairei zachar. What about the situation of a kairei, which is male? What's a kairei? This is a bird translated as partridge, partridge. It's usually a game bird found out in the wild. And what's unique about this bird is that the males sit on the eggs as well. So he encounters a male sitting on the eggs. Reb Lezer is mechayev him in shiluch hakein, because in this situation, he's considered like the mother. Whereas Rucham Pater and Rucham Pater, because they hold it when the pasuk says that the mother is nesting on the babies, it's specifically referring to the mother and not the father, even though it's the norm for the father. And we keep discussing shiluch hakein. The Mishnah tells us, let's say the mother bird is flapping her wings. In other words, she's hovering over the nest. She's not nesting on them. She's not sitting on them, but she's hovering over the nest. So if her wings are touching the nest, he has a chiv to send her away. Whereas in kenafen nogis b'ken, if her wings are not touching the nest, he doesn't have to send her away. And that's because the pasuk doesn't say yoyshaves, that she's sitting on the nest. It says roivetzes, that she's nesting or she's crouching on them. And so hovering or flapping her wings right above the nest could be considered that if she's touching it, but if she's not touching it, then it's not considered like she's resting on it. Now, more discussions. Let's say he gets to the nest and he finds that there's only one little chick or one egg. Chayv l'shalech, he still has a chiv to send it away. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, kan. What do we learn from here? Kan mikol makom, any sort of nest, even though there's just one inside. Now, let's say hayusham mefreichem africhem by beitzim muzares. Let's say there's chicks there that are actually able to fly a little bit, or beitzim muzares, which are non-fertilized eggs, which means they're never going to be able to hatch. Patam l'shalech, he does not have to do shiluch haken. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, vo'emer vetzes al africhem al beitzim, and the mother is nesting on the chicks or on the eggs. What do we learn from the comparison of these two things? Ma afroichem b'nei kayama, just like afroichem, the chicks, they're b'nei kayama, they're alive and they're moving, af beitzim b'nei kayama, so too the eggs also have to be b'nei kayama. Yatzim muzaris, that excludes non-fertilized eggs, which are not b'nei kayama, they're never going to hatch. And also, uma habeitzim tzrichen le'imam, just like the eggs need their mother in order to be able to hatch, af afroichem tzrichen le'imam, the chicks also need their mother. Yatzim mafrichen, that excludes chicks that are able to fly already a little bit, who don't really need their mother so much, so din of shiluach doesn't apply to them. Now, let's say shelchav chazra, shelchav chazra. He sent the mother away, and then she came back, and he sent her away, and she came back again. Afilu arba v'chamisha pamim. Even if she kept on coming back 4 or 5 times, chayev, he still has to keep on sending her away. Shnamar kozapas says shalach to shalach, a double lashon that tells us he has to constantly send her away, even if she keeps on coming back. Now, Omar, let's say the fellow says harini night also aim. I'm going to take the mother, umshalach asabanim, and I'm going to send the kids away. It doesn't work like that. Chayev l'shalach, he has to send the mother away. Shnamar kozapas says shalach to shalach as ha'aim. There's no idea of switching. You can't take the mother and send the kids away. You have to send the mother away and take the kids. Now, not al banav echzirin laken. Let's say he took the kids, he took the babies, and he put them back into the nest. Va'acha chazra imaleim, and then the mother came back to them. Patal mishaleach. He does not have to do shiluch haken because now this is called mizumin. It's called prepared already for him. Since now he took the birds and he put them back, it's not considered a wild nest. It's not ainu mizumin, so he would not be chayv shiluch over here. And moving on to Mishnah Dalid. Hanotel imal banim. Let's say somebody takes the mother with the children. Rabbi Huda says like the ainu mishaleach. He gets malchus, and he does not have the ability to fix up what he did. He can't do shiluach anymore. He already messed up, and he gets malchus for being over a love. Or the chum same shaleach ve'inu loike. He could send the mother away still, and he doesn't get malchus. Why is that? Because zaklal, this is the rule. Kol mitzvus lois haasei she yesh ba kumasei ain't like an aleha. Any mitzvus lois haasei, the Torah says don't do this, but it has a kumasei. There's some indication in the pasuk afterwards that tells us that you should get up and do something, so one's not going to get malchus for this. This is called a lav hanitak laasei, a lav, a don't do commandment, which is nitak, it's moved, or it's drawn to an asay, to a yes do. A great example of this is the isser of stealing. The pasuk says, don't steal. But then it says, Veheshiv Sagzel Asher Gazal, return that which was stolen. And we learn from here, it's a lavanita klase. Even the pasuk says, don't steal. So you would think that if you stole, you should get malchus for that. And since it then says, return that which you stole, that is the nitik l'ase. It has now been moved to an ase state because we have a positive thing that could fix up the negative thing. Same thing over here, according to the Chachamim. Even though the pasuk says, don't take the mother over their children, meaning don't take her without sending her away, since the pasuk then tells us, shalech the shalchaseim, send the mother away, that's a lavanita klase, according to the Chachamim. Even if he did take her, he could now send her away and he's fixed it up. However, the Chachamim do agree that if he took her and then shechted her, so now he doesn't have the ability to send her away, he would get malchus for this. And the Mishnah tells us, lo yitol adam im halabanim vafil latarsa matzora. There's mitzvah of shiloh hakein, and the isra of taking the mother while she's on the children is so strong that he's not allowed to take it even to mitara matzora. A person who has saras has to go through a whole tahara process, part of which he needs certain birds. So he finds his mother bird, she's crouching on her young, he wants to take her for a mitzvah of being mitara matzora. Nope, he's not allowed to, he has to send her away first. And here we end up with a strong yisoid, umay mitzvah kaloshi ke iser, just with an easy mitzvah, that's just like an iser. What does that mean, an iser? An iser is a small coin that's worth very little. And over here, by sending the mother bird away, he's being mekayem this mitzvah, but he's losing out on a little bit of money. Amar Torah, the Torah says, l'man yitav lach v'arachta yamim, it's going to be good for you, and you're going to have long days. You have arichas yamim when you do yishilach hakein. Kal v'chaymer, ha-mitzvah chamurut shebatorah, for sure, on more difficult mitzvahs in the Torah that perhaps cost a lot more money, for sure, a person's reward is going to be great and vast. Hajj alach mesechas chulin, miles are finishing this mesech together, just like Ruzecha finished mesechas chulin together, we should mesechah finish the entire Shas Mishnayos together. And moving right on to the brand new mesechta, Meseches Bechoros. Now, Bechoros means firstborns. And we know that right before Yetzias Mitzrayim, by the last Makkah, Makkas Bechoros, when Hashem struck down the firstborns of the Mitzrayim, at that point in time, the Pasuk tells us that the firstborns of the Yidden became Kadosh to Hashem. Now, which firstborns? So this is not just humans. It's not just a firstborn Yid that's Kadosh. It's also kosher animals, and actually even one non-kosher animal, which is called Peter Chamar, and that's what we're going to be discussing in the first parak. Now, the din is different for all three of these. We know that a firstborn male Yid is a Bechor, and he has to be redeemed by the Kayin. And we're going to be talking about that later on in the Masechta. Now, there's also this din regarding kosher animals, specifically ones that are able to be Karbonos. When we have a firstborn animal, that's Kadosh, it has Kedushas Bechor, it has to be given to a Kayin, and if it's a Tam, it's unblemished, it's brought as a Karbon by the Kayin, and it's eaten by the Kayin and his family. And if it's a Balmum, if it has a blemish, it's just treated like a regular animal that he could shecht and do whatever he wants with it. It's not a karbon, but either which way, it belongs to the kayin. Now, lastly, and this is really the first thing we're going to be talking about in the Masechta, is the din of Peter Chamar. As we just said, this is the only non-kosher animal that has the din of Bechor. So when we have a firstborn male donkey, in other words, it's the first time its mother had a baby, and it's a male, it has to be redeemed, we have to be paid to it. So the person who owns it, the farmer, that's usually a person who's going to have a firstborn male donkey, he takes a sheep or a goat, and that's given to the kayin instead of the Peter Chamar, and only then he's able to keep his Chamar. And so now knowing that, Mishnah tells us, one who buys the fetus of the donkey of a non-Jew. So the non-Jew owns the donkey, and it's pregnant, and a Yid buys the fetus. He says, I want to buy that baby. When it comes out, it's mine. Or if he sells this to a non-Jew, even though he's not allowed to, there's an isra to sell a non-Jew a large animal. Or if he joins up in a partnership with a non-Jew in a donkey, or if he draws up a contract with him, this is a business deal that either he or the non-Jew is going to be raising the donkey, and he gets a certain percentage of the profits. Included in those profits is any babies that are born. So in such a situation, pater min habechira, if the firstborn of this donkey is a male, it's pater from his din of bechira. Why is that, Shinomer? Because the pasuk says, be Yisrael, the din of Peter Chamar is only by a Yid. The Yid has to own it. It has to be the Yid's. Avalei bechira, not with anybody else. And since in all these situations we just mentioned, the non-Jew has something to do with it, he's either a partner or he's the owner of the mother, or one of these other cases, there's no din of Peter Chamar. Now, Kehanim Levim, Peturim, and Kal V'Chaymer, Kehanim Levim also are Pater from din of Peter Chamar based off of a Kal V'Chaymer. What's the Kal V'Chaymer? In Pater Yishal Yisrael B'Midbar. If they Pater the Yidden in the Midbar, din hu shiftu as Atzman, they should for sure Pater themselves. Now, what does this mean? So, as we just said in the introduction to the Masechta, that at the time of Makas B'Chayrois, all firstborns became Kadosh Tashem. And so, really, firstborn Yisraelim, they really were the ones who should have done the Avodah in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash because they are Kadosh. However, we know that by Chet HaEgel, they lost that status, and the right to do the Avodah in the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash was transferred only to the Levim, meaning to the family of Levi, which is Levim and Kehanim, and that's why firstborn Yisraelim have to be redeemed. So, that's what the Mishnah just told us, that the animals of Kehanim Levim are Pater from petach chamor based off of kal v'chomer. If kohanim levim caused the petur of yidden because of the cheto egel, the kedusha of the bechor, so to speak, went from the Yisraelim to the kohanim levim, so for sure they should be able to pater their own firstborn. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Beis, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.